Good morning. Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast. It's the 24th of July, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank, and the Hat Podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com. To learn more, stop by your local branch to talk about your ag operation today. CJ Miller and Sabrina Halverson today with the news, including concern over falling farm income and a closer look at orange corn. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin has more heat and humidity today, maybe some rain. And yesterday, corn and beans again moved into the black. Arlen Suderman is here with market analysis on the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal opportunity lender.
Hey, this is Brian Schrader.
Carl Jorn.
And Ben Jacob.
And we're the hosts of the Indiana Pioneer Agronomy Podcast. Each episode, we cover up-to-date field and crop conditions for growers throughout the state of Indiana. Talk to guests about the latest pests, diseases, agronomic technologies, and much more. You can find new episodes weekly on your preferred podcast platform.
Your lawmakers looking for answers on the projected drop in farm incomes and the story of an Indiana father-son duo and their orange corn. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Farmers across the U.S. could see a drop of nearly 25% in their farm incomes compared to last year. That's what USDA is predicting, and that's why your lawmakers in D.C. are looking for answers. Sabrina Halverson reports how one Hoosier testified before the House Ag Committee on Tuesday about the recent impact on the ag banking industry.
Ag bankers have a deep appreciation for the important role producers play in our economy and the unique challenges they face.
One of the witnesses was Tony Hotchkiss of Evansville, Indiana, chairman of the Agriculture and Rural Bankers Committee of the American Bankers Association. He told lawmakers about the connection between bankers and farmers.
Banks continue to be one of the first places that farmers and ranchers turn when looking for agricultural loans. With our deep connection to farmers and ranchers, banks are often the first to see changes within balance sheets and cash flows on the farm operation, often due to changing economic conditions.
This is what they're seeing now.
With rising input costs and lower commodity prices, farmers and ranchers have worked through the liquidity and working capital they built up over the past few years at a more rapid pace than anticipated, and are now beginning to leverage equity through refinancing debt. This has made agricultural bankers feel like they are looking over the cliff in regards to the agricultural economy. For example, we are hearing that bankers already are starting to refinance debt for almond growers in California, and we are hopeful this is an outlier and not a growing trend.
He encouraged lawmakers to pass a farm bill and to keep current tax exemptions for farmers, such as the estate tax and capital gains exemptions. He also supported the Access to Credit for Rural Economy, or ACRE, Act, which he said would create a level playing field for all lenders to agriculture. I'm Sabrina Halverson.
Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig.
Well, you've heard of yellow corn and white corn, but what about orange corn? Well, thanks to a father-son duo who started their own company right here in Indiana called Nutrimaize, you'll likely be hearing a lot more about it in the years to come.
We want to be the leader in nutritionally enhanced corn and maybe someday other crops as well.
And that's Evan Rochford, who co-founded Nutrimaize with his father, Dr. Torbert Rochford, who's an agronomy professor at Purdue. He says his father came up with the idea for orange corn in order to bring vitamin A and other nutrients to those in other parts of the world, such as Africa.
And a lot of people did not think that they would be able to develop varieties that had high enough vitamin A levels to actually make a difference in Africa. Most people said, you're never going to be able to do it with natural variation. Torbert proved him wrong. He found the variation. Him and his collaborators identified key genes that are present in corn, natural variation, and they were able to use those to breed varieties that have much, much higher levels of vitamin A. So it's been a tremendously successful scientific innovation.
Evan says the goal is also to bring orange corn to the masses through the Professor Torbert brand.
We have grits, cornmeal, corn flour. All of those are available on Amazon or on our website, which is ProfessorTorberts.com. And people describe them as being creamy, as having a rich flavor.
He says that Nutrimaize has also been working to provide their orange corn as poultry feed for egg producers. The corn not only provides more nutrients for both the animal and the egg, but it also gives the egg yolks a darker color and a richer flavor.
We're able to increase the nutritional density of the eggs. We're able to improve the health of the birds. The research proving these benefits through collaborations with Purdue University.
Read more about the orange corn from Nutrimaize at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Every farming operation has a story with a past, present, and future. Farm Credit Mid-America wants to get to know your farm story because we're a lending cooperative owned by farmers. And that's why we offer a range of loans and services designed to help farmers grow and prosper. Because we know why no one knows a farmer like a farmer does. Learn more about Farm Credit Mid-America and some of our farmer stories at FCMA.com. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Farmers and agriculture dealers, now is the time to inspect your combines for holes and wear in your threshing, feeder, and grain tank sections. Instead of costly replacements, try combine wear parts from Eile Fabrications, made with the best steel, such as Hardox or Strengths wear plate. Eile's steel wear part liners are easy to install and built to OEM specs to ensure a snug and seamless fit at a cost less than OEM replacement parts. Visit IHLEFabrications.com and elevate your harvest this season.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Another day of instability across the Hoosier State. Heat and humidity combining to give us a chance of pop-up thunderstorms, showers as well. However, if I'm looking at this closely, I'm just not seeing a large amount of moisture to work with. So I think, yes, we'll see showers across the state today, probably about 60, maybe 70% coverage, but we're not seeing huge totals. Now, any strong thunderstorm, anything that goes severe, yes, has the potential to have some locally heavy downpours. So I'm not going to rule it out, but I just don't think we're looking at a broad brushstroke kind of picture here for moderate to heavy rains across the Hoosier State. Behind this, I think as soon as tomorrow morning to midday, we see cooler and less humid air spilling southward out of the Great Lakes. It's going to be a very pleasant finish to the week for your Thursday, for Friday, for Saturday. Just gorgeous weather with sunshine dominating and those humidity values quite comfortable. We start to see things warm up on Sunday, see humidity values climb, and then next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, very similar to what we're talking about here today. We've got heat-based scattered shower and thunderstorm activity popping up. Daily coverage, maybe 40 to 50% overall through the three-day stretch. We all probably get something. So yeah, we're kind of in this pattern that we're seeing on again, off again moisture. But as long as the moisture stays in a usable kind of form and rate, meaning we don't get dumped on in some areas, I think this is going to be a good setup and good scenario for growing and developing crops. The heat will not break next week. After we talk about that moisture Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we kick off the month of August with still some very warm temperatures. We're going to shift into a slightly drier pattern, but temperatures will be above normal for those first few days, maybe the first half of August, the way it looks right now. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig. No turnaround Tuesday in corn and beans as those markets go higher Monday and again on Tuesday. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Tuesday Farm Market Review. A look at the settlements coming up at the end of our review. We begin, though, with market analysis. And for that, I checked in with Arlen Suderman of StoneX right near the end of the Tuesday session. Arlen, the rally moved into a second day with corn, soybeans, finally wheat all moving higher, coming off those highs, though, as the day moved on. But in the case of soybeans, good news that the rally was not all given back. So let's start with soybeans. Crop ratings out, no change there. Does that actually weigh on the market?
Oh, it does, but the market had already priced in a trend or higher crop, and that's how they built their big short positions for managed money there. I think what they're focusing on is expectations for conditions to be less favorable going forward. It is a futures market, and the next 2 weeks are looking hotter and drier. Not necessarily a dome of doom or anything that's going to create an automatic crop failure by any means, but it's going to be trending hotter and drier. And so the question is, will that create enough stress on the crop to lower the crop ratings, lower the yield potential? And so funds have been doing some short covering, but I do have to say that I was not impressed with how we finished the day in the grain and oil seeds markets. And that raises some concerns as we go forward.
So you were hoping for a better close. Is that realistic?
Well, I was hoping for it. I think we're going to have to keep feeding the bull if we're going to sustain this, because we've got a lot of soybeans in Brazil that can be sold. The U.S. farmer doesn't have much left on the farm in the way of soybeans. But the Brazilian farmer still has about a quarter of his crop. We do, because the Brazilian farmer has kind of quit selling, and the exporters there are focusing more on shipping the corn that they just got harvested and is in the process of being harvested. We have seen basis firm down there, and so we are seeing some opportunities to ship some soybeans to China. And so China has become a little bit more active now. That would be for a delivery in September. That would still be primarily old crop soybeans. So that may help a little bit. But if we rally this market too much, we'll start seeing Brazilian selling increase again and basis weaken there. And they'll take that business back away from us. So it's kind of a catch-22.
So it sounds like maybe U.S. soybeans are price competitive, at least at this point in time.
Yeah, if you look at what it takes to ship soybeans from Brazil to China, it's about 45 days. So beans bought by China today for immediate shipment wouldn't arrive in China until September. And so, therefore, we're looking at bids for delivery in September right now. U.S. Gulf has finally taken an advantage. It's not a big advantage. We're talking 5 to 10 cents a bushel, but that's the first advantage we've had in many, many, many months. And so that does give us an opportunity.
Well, you mentioned not too happy with the close in corn and soybeans. And wheat, for that matter. Let's talk about the corn market. It has still shown a little bit of life this week, and that's not really been the norm here in recent weeks.
Yeah, we did see the corn ratings drop a point, kind of as I expected there. I expected beans to drop a point too, and they did not. But it had to drop a point just to sustain an even yield, because normally ratings drop this time of year. So for the seasonally adjusted yield models, in order to get that yield lower to help support price, you need to see a decline that's faster than that seasonal pace. And we haven't done that yet. So the models are still projecting a trend yield or higher on a national basis. That's largely because the problems in the West have been more than made up for with higher ratings in the rest of the Midwest Corn Belt right now. We're looking at both condition rating scores as well as NDVI, satellite-derived greenness scores, that are well above average and even near last year's level, if in some cases even a little bit higher than last year's level.
Arlen Suderman there, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX and StoneX.com. Settlements now, corn just a couple of cents higher, well off the highs on Tuesday, September 402 and a half. and December 417 and a quarter, both contracts gaining 2 1/4. March up 2 cents, 431 and a quarter. August beans 1117 and a half, down 0.25 cent, but 7 cents higher. September 1071 and 3/4, and November 1075 and a half, ending 6 3/4 higher. Down 0.25 cents on September and December wheat, SEP 542 and 3/4, DEES 567 and 3/4. The meats higher all day long. October live cattle finishing up $1.52 at $186.12. October lean hogs settling at $77.12, up $1.15. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Tuesday Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.